a bit too early to be podcasting. Yes. Am I tired and have just woken up? Yes. But do I care? No, I do not care, because the North Melbourne Football Club has had one of the biggest wins in its recent history. That's right, guys. Welcome back to Further North, the Further North podcast. I thought this is a big occasion, so I need to jump on right now. And we're just going to talk about the game, the match sim that happened yesterday between Collingwood and North Melbourne. Wowee. Now, I'm no mathematician, but does this mean that we're going to win the premiership? Because if my maths is correct, if Collingwood win the premiership and then North Melbourne beat Collingwood, that means we're going to win the premiership because we beat the guys who have the premiership, so we're better than them. I think that's just basic maths, but you guys let me know. You roast me if that's not right, but I'm pretty sure I've done the sums correctly. I typed 50052 on the calculator and the answer came up. We have won a preseason game, 102-68, which is pretty wild, to be honest. Now, look, there are things that people can caveat and people can say. A lot of people at the barbershop yesterday while I was watching it were saying, oh, well, Collingwood just aren't trying. Well, I'm pretty sure they're trying, because we all agreed to play like little match sims within the match sim, and they need to warm up for their season as well because they play before us. So Collingwood are definitely trying. Was everybody trying 100%? Probably not, because it's preseason, but there's no way Collingwood weren't trying and North Melbourne were. The commentators really did like to say that Collingwood are missing all their stars. Were they missing all their stars? A lot of them, yes. But were we missing stars? Absolutely. We didn't have our best defender. We didn't have Bailey Scott. I could go on and on and on. We didn't have lots and lots of people as well. But no one wanted to say that. So, hey, look, I'm not here to nitpick. I'm just saying it's something that we should take seriously. This is something to take seriously. Look, let's not ride home and say we're going to win the premiership, even though there might be a little bit of that here. And on Sunday at the live show, I'm glad that we've just beat the reigning premiers in a match of football for us to pretend on Sunday at Bonehead Brewing at 1 p.m. that we have won the premiership, or we're going to win the premiership. So very exciting times. We're just going to do a match breakdown, guys. It's my preseason too, so I need to get match fit. I need to learn to do the positives, the negatives, break it up the quarters, talking points, best on grounds, all that sort of stuff. So we're going to go through it. This is going to be a little bit of a quicker one. I've got so much stuff to organize for the live show, and I probably should probably be doing that now. But hey, we're here. This is what we're doing, and let's just get straight into it. So let's just go through the positives and negatives that I've got and the dot points that I've got. So the structure was two 20-minute quarters, and 2 5-minute match sims where one team is 7 points up and then the other team has to try and run them down. We did win every single section of this, which is the first. I think we had to hold the lead. So Collingwood in the first little 5-minute match sim thing, which was at halftime, Collingwood were down by 7 points and they had to try and come back, and we held them. And then after the four quarters were done, it was the opposite way around. So North Melbourne had to try and come back and they were 7 points down against Collingwood, and we got them. So look, it's preseason, but preseason's here for a reason, and I'm not, that rhymed and I didn't mean that. It's not something to just shrug away. You can tell which side of the fence people are on. Are North fans going to take this a bit too seriously? Yes, but we absolutely should. Like, we've been bone dry for wins and positives for a while now. And let us have this, guys. Is it too easy to say Collingwood weren't trying and it's preseason? That's a cop-out as well. So when all your mates over the next few days say that, there's plenty to come back at them and say, why wouldn't Collingwood try? They play sooner than us. They need to get their bodies match fit for contact and all that sort of stuff. So don't let them bring you down, guys. So we're going to go through some positives and negatives here. We'll start with some positives. Now, the first quarter for me, it was very, very similar to last season. We didn't really come out of the blocks very well. Collingwood were all over us in the first quarter. We looked like we did last year, and it was a little bit concerning, to be honest. The two biggest positives I got from the first quarter was McKercher, the biggest one by far, McKercher and Fisher off halfback. That looks fantastic. Colby McKercher, if we thought Harry Shearer was good, wait until we see this kid play. Now, that's a big call, and take that with a grain of salt. But, my God, I'm so excited to watch Colby McKercher play. He looks phenomenal already. Zach Fisher brought something, brought run and carry, but link up as well. I said this on the last podcast, where recruiting Fisher, McKercher wasn't there last year, and Dylan Stevens is going to change the way we play, because we haven't had any of these guys to actually have run and dash and a big, accurate, long-kicking left foot running out of defense. Jack Ziebel was the one taken out of defense with, you know, 20-meter chip kicks and things like that. And no shade on Jack Ziebel. I was defending Jack Ziebel all year last year. I think he's one of our better players. But, you know, we didn't have anyone to progress it quickly out of that back 50. This is changing our game so much right now. Zach Fisher was our best player in that first quarter. He looked fantastic, and it was, you know, making an accurate handball in a tight situation, then running into space and receiving the handball back and just linking up in a chain. And I haven't seen that from North for so, so long. Yes, we did it against the Gold Coast, but, you know, this is stuff we need to make consistent, and we do all the time. The skill errors, though, did let us down in the first quarter. And this is going to be a thing with North all year in the next few years. And this is something I was saying last year. We just don't quite have the skill level. Now, the skill improved in the game. Second quarter onwards, our handball accuracy and our decision-making grew drastically. But let's just focus on the first quarter for now. There was a lot of trying to move the ball incredibly quickly and then turning it over. Especially, we were much better at getting it past halfway in this game. But when we got it to around our 50, there was a lot of quick decision-making, which keep at it because we need to keep doing that. We're going to have to grow through that. But a lot of the time, the ball did get turned over, intercept marked. And Collingwood just pressed and pressed and pressed. And we weren't used to that press in the first quarter. It's the first proper match sim, so we'll give them a pass on it. And with how the game played out, I don't think it's too much of a worry. But, yeah, it did look a lot like last year, even though we were trying something different. Something that I think we need to get a little bit better at, especially in the first, was sticking to leads when the Collingwood forwards were leading in the 50. I know our defense looks more solid than I thought it was going to be, but we obviously don't have like a key, you know, proper top 15, 20 defender in the league. So I think the Collingwood forwards leading was really a nightmare. They took a lot of pretty simple leads and marks off leads, sorry. And I think I'd like our players to be able to stick there a little bit more, or at least have someone cutting across them a little bit more like they did for us in the first. The defense is going to be the thing this year that we stress about. And I'm fully ready for us to score a lot of points, but concede a lot of points. And guys like a Callan Dawson, who I think was probably our better defender on the day, Toby Pink, Biggie, Comben and Core coming back into this thing. It's a work in progress, and I fully understand that. But I'm going to call out the negatives when they're there. Not trying to be mean to anybody, obviously, but these things have to be spoken about so we can improve. Because I'm sure they all listen to the podcast at the... you know, Clarko gets the boys into that little meeting room and listens to Further North every week. I love Clarko. I love Clarko and George Wardlaw's relationship. They just, there's something about every single video. Clarko's always like picking on him, and George just said he's weird in the press conference. I love their relationship. I think that is the power couple of the AFL. My next point here for positives is Helmut Jerry. Now, there are pros and cons with Jerry in this game, but the fact he's doing positive things on a football field is new to me, and I'm here for it. Now, we know that I'm not the biggest Tristan Jerry fan in the world, but I tell you who I am a fan of. I'm a fan of Helmut Jerry, and I'm on the Helmut Jerry train. His ruck work has been very, very solid, and backing it up from the intra-club to a game against actual opposition where they're going for you a bit more, I like that step. If he can replicate this sort of thing in the season, that's going to be massive for our midfield and our scoring, giving our midfielders first ball use. I said this the last couple of podcasts. If Liquid Nails isn't sponsoring Tristan Jerry before round one and glue that helmet to his head, I will be concerned. You watch Jerry lose his superpowers when he takes that helmet off. It's like Spider-Man. It's like Batman. As soon as the helmet's on, as soon as the mask is on, he turns into he's Spider-Man instead of Peter Parker. You know what I mean? He's Clark Kent and Superman. This is the difference we're seeing. So glue that thing to his head. Liquid Nails, if you're listening, sponsor this man immediately because the future of our club rests in your hands. I'll send them a quick email and see what they say. But yeah, there was a couple of things with Jerry as well, which we can get to a little bit later. But I guess one of them was he took possession of the ball. I think he rucked it to his team. Someone handballed it back to him and he panicked. Where he got the ball and he kicked it on his left foot into the forward line. He had a lot of time. So Tristan Jerry's decision-making, he's still a ruckman at the end of the day. He still dropped a few marks and had a few Jerry-like clangers. But that's okay if you back it up with decent ruck work and he's taking some marks. And that's all he's got to do. He's just got to be a solid ruckman. He's got to be like a 6 out of 10 ruckman. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from Jerry in the last 2 weeks. I bet you guys never thought that I'd be saying anything like this about Tristan Jerry. But it's Helmet Jerry. It's different. Change his first name from Tristan to Helmet because that's a petition I need to start. A couple of decision-making errors on Jerry's part, but I'm happy to look past those sort of things if you back it up with positive play and a positive for the team, which he has been doing. So well done, Tristan. Maybe you're my guy this year. Let's see about that. Let's not get off the mark too soon. So the only other thing I had to say for the first quarter, which was a slight negative, was our inside 50 entry. I think, yeah, we were bombing it long and not really being able to get players into space. And our forward line didn't really function. I think a lot of our kicking into the forward 50 in that first quarter was a little bit wayward. So we did tighten all this sort of stuff up in the second quarter, and we can go to the second quarter. A lot more... Sorry, guys, got to clear the throat. It's early in the morning. A lot more positives in the second. We really turned it on in the second quarter. And this is the time where I went, wow, have we made a change here? Is this... What have we changed? And why are we suddenly getting on top of Collingwood? Because Collingwood really did have the better quarter in the first. Now, the first thing I noticed from the second quarter was Sheezer went more into the midfield. It was more active in the midfield, getting amongst the ball a little bit more. And I think he brought a little bit of calmness and class to our midfield exits, basically, or linking up in those chains off half back a bit more to be the one to distribute it, which got it past halfway to a better target. He just brings a bit of a cool head around everything, I think. Like, Wardlaw is erratic in the best way possible, where he's going to go hell for leather at the ball, get that ball out, rip it out. But, you know, maybe disposal-wise, maybe needs to be a tiny bit better, and he'll get there because George is my guy, and George is going to be a superstar. But Sheezel has that calming presence that I think some of them... LDU is the same in that category, that Sheezel brings a little bit of calmness to those guys. The stars really stood up in the second quarter as well. LDU and Wardlaw in that middle, the pressure that they started to bring, not letting the Pies sort of run it out of defense, was fantastic. And that gave them a contest. And I think if it gets a bit gritty and we start locking the ball in, I think we're going to be able to win it this season with our midfield talent. So the stars really stepped up in the midfield in the second quarter. And that is what will swing games our way. That's what's going to make it slowly turn when the opposition aren't going to walk it out because they expect to walk it out against North Melbourne. And then when they're not, they go, oh, this is actually hard. What do we do? And then the talent of a Sheezel, of a Wardlaw, a Simkin, a McKercher, an LDU, they're going to be able to get on top of a few of these guys. Remember, we're playing the reigning premiers as well. Yes, they were missing players, but this is the best team in the league. Wait till we play a lower team. If we play like that, I reckon we can get some teams this year. The ball movement was much cleaner. It's almost like we grew into the game and just got more comfortable with transitioning the ball. The link-up from all of the players was fantastic. We're making better decisions. We're moving the ball cleaner. And we're running together and having, like, everyone was playing like Zach Fisher did in that first quarter, where there's always another option to handball to instead of having to just kick it out and it getting cut off, you know, 40 meters up the field. So the team aspect of the game, quotation marks, North ball, which we'll talk about, that was on full display in the second quarter. Now, you know, I gave Jerry a lot of flowers before, but like I said, I've got a point here saying Jerry still does Jerry things. And, you know, still dropping a few marks that he should take and things like that. So that is so frustrating to see when I put a lot of pressure on Tristan Jerry. And I, once again, have enjoyed what he's been doing this preseason. I love that he's been marking the ball in a couple of contests. He took a few marks, which he wouldn't have done last year. And there's still times when his decision-making, every time he marks the ball or has the ball, he's looking to handball, which I think is the right thing. I mean, you know, he's not the most skilled player ever, so you don't really want him kicking the ball onto someone's chest. But I like that there's now players running past him to receive a handball. So if he can be a guy that takes a mark, you know, feeds the handball out to a McKercher or a Sheezer running past, and then we move and he can run up the field and get inside of contests and just be athletic enough or fit enough to be able to run Goldie-like, like getting back to take a big mark in 2015 final, or being able to push forward and take a mark and that sort of stuff. Having the fitness to do that, I think, is going to serve Jerry well. Jerry needs to stick to what Jerry does well, which this preseason has shown me there are things that he can do. I like the decision-making on his part to not try and do too much, which I think is the sign of a smart enough footballer. So, look, positives for Jerry, like the intra-club, but I'm proceeding with caution. But I'm liking what he's doing. Keep the helmet on Tristan. Continued skill errors as well, but that's going to be, once again, a feature of North ball and just North Melbourne being a young team in general. I'm not too worried about that, as long as we sort of counter that with some good skills sometimes as well and good transition play and things like that. Little things like kicking accuracy. I think our handball was pretty good in this game, especially from the second quarter onwards, but just making the right decision to kick. But it's preseason and we'll get better at that. One point I've got here that a couple of people have messaged me about, not agreeing with me, but, and I'm not dissing Callum Dawson or Toby Pink or anyone like that. I think they're a lot more solid than I assumed that they would be, and I'm happy about that. I still think Common and Core are our best two. I'd probably put Callum Dawson in that now, which would be a surprise to a lot of people. And I wasn't writing Callum Dawson off. I just, from last year, I didn't see heaps except that last game. But I want these guys to prove we need to have higher standards of why people get a game sometimes. And, you know, Callum Dawson in that last game was okay, but he hasn't had a game where I'm like, wow, like Lazaro did last year. Callum Dawson has had a good preseason, but he hasn't shone in my eyes. But this game, for me, was his best game. So I'm really happy with what Callum Dawson put out. Toby Pink was solid as well. I was actually quite disappointed with Biggie. I think Biggie's been pretty good in the couple of intra-club sort of things we've done. And he had his moments, but I think there's clearly decision-making and effective disposal that he needs to get a little bit better at. So, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more about who should be our key defenders, but yeah, I think we really do need a proper key defender in there, and Charlie Combin will bring that. I really hope Chom plays round one. I think Jed Adcock said he was out with ankle soreness, but he could have played, so it's nothing to worry about, so I'll take him on his word for that. Hopefully not the ankle that exploded. I'm assuming it probably would be, but they said he could have played, which gives me some confidence. Still missing Luke McDonald and Bailey Scott and things like that as well. So we do have a lot of players out. But yeah, I think the one thing for me, and it's lucky we're playing the Pies, who don't really have an amazing big forward, but the teams like Carlton and Geelong and Adelaide and those sort of teams which have a proper key forward, I think that back line would still struggle with. I'm not going to fully trust Pink just yet, but that's why we've got Charlie Combin. So, you know, I think the back line was fairly solid. Obviously, we really didn't let them score, and I'm happy with... It's a lot of zone defense and team defending, it seems like. you know, I've got more points here. Like Gota seemed to be playing that Zeeble role a little bit, where he was dropping in to space and intercepting and moving the ball quickly, which I think was really, really good. So, yeah, defense as a whole, I really liked what I saw. I just think it still lacks a big body that's competent at AFL level. And if Toby Pink can grow into that, fantastic. But Charlie Comben needs to be that player at the moment. But other than that, I'm pretty happy with our defense. Well done to Callan Dawson. Played very well. I still think Callan Dawson is more of a Aiden Core type. I wouldn't feel good about him playing as a key position defender, like a one-on-one defender. An intercept, like the Ben McKay role, intercepting all the Aiden Core role, where he sort of distributes off the back line. There was a couple of times Callan Dawson got in the midfield and pushed forward or ran off half back a little bit. He seems quite agile and he's got good disposal. But I would say he'll get bullied in a one-on-one contest. So that's my only hesitation there. Right now, if you're asking me who plays round one, you know what? No, we're going to do that after because I've got some talking points of the game we'll dive into. So no, I'm not going to do that just yet. Back to Gota before we go to another positive. I really liked his game. There was a couple of, once again, a wayward disposal. But, you know, he's young, and I think he did look to be playing that Zeeble role. He looked to be playing a little bit more of a lockdown role. He was around Bobby Hill a lot, which I like. I think if there was a player, because we've got so much run off half back with Sheezel and McKercher and Fisher, Goda's playing very well in the preseason and probably deserves to play. So maybe try him on a small forward. I would love Jackson Archer in that role. I'm a Glenn Archer stan, so I'm biased, but give Gota the chance because he seems to be able to intercept quite well and he's quick and agile. So I like Gota playing in that role. I'm not saying he's doing exactly what Zeeble did, but there was shades of Zeeble there where he would drop into a pocket or a hole where a forward was going to lead into market and then quickly dispose of the ball to get the chain linking up. So I really liked that from Josh Gota. I really, really did. We sort of controlled the game from there on in. I've got a few more notes, and to be honest with you, we sort of did our work by, I'd say, in the third quarter. We sort of came out and controlled the game very well. I don't feel like we dominated. I know we kind of did, but watching the game back, I watched it after work as well. I don't feel like we fully dominated, but the Pies just couldn't score, and they didn't convert. They had plenty of the ball. They were able to transition the ball, but they just didn't score, and that's why I'm really happy with our defense as a whole and as a unit. Clarkson is doing Clarkson things where he has a whole preseason to work on this defense. The Hawks defense individually, I don't think, was the greatest defense of all. It's definitely not a four-peat or a three-peat and four premiership type defense, but, you know, they had very good players. Don't get me wrong, but sorry, guys, it's early. My throat's cooking. The scheme of the defense and dropping into pockets and playing a bit more zone, so when they do, they find it hard to even enter it into the 50, is very, very good. It's looking like they're struggling to get it in there. When they did, especially the first quarter, and it took us a bit to warm in, and once they found a couple of those leads and were accurate, we did get chopped up a little bit. But yeah, the defense as a whole, I'm really, really impressed with so far. This has been one of the biggest surprises. Talking of surprises, no, it's not a surprise. He's been very, very good all preseason. But Dylan Stevens in this game, mate, especially that second half he played, what a player, what a player. His run and carry, just being able to run all day, mate, Bailey Scott and Dylan Stevens on these wings, my God, we've got a player here. He was in everything, around the contests, link-up handball, progressing the ball forward, running out of the contest. Mate, I'm so on the Dylan Stevens train. He was phenomenal in that second half, and yeah, he just looks like a class above what we've been having, to be honest. He's going to elevate the club standards, just like Zach Fisher is going to. I think he got a couple of goals. Was it two? He definitely scored one. But him popping up off half back and then being in the forward line when the chain was, the link-up play was ended. Mate, the dude could just run a mile and not even blink, you know what I mean? Like, he would just run and run and run. Like, I just loved how much he was getting involved in the contest too, for a slightly slighter bloke, and wingers notoriously aren't going to get in and under. I loved his work around the contest, crumbing the ball really well and feeding it out accurately, or being a link-up player and kicking it into the 50 with that huge left foot of his. This is what I'm saying before. Guys, him, McKercher, and Zach Fisher especially transitioning off half back. Wow. That's game changing for us, and I think that's going to be one of the biggest things that makes North Ball North Ball. The new look midfield in the third. Now, the first half was basically all Wardlaw, LDU. Simkin was in there a lot. They rotated Simkin with Powell a little bit. I think it was Powell in the first half, but they rotated the midfield around a little bit. In the third quarter and the second half, they switched to Lazaro, Will Phil, and Tommy Powell. And it's hotly contested with those three, and this game makes it even more tough. Now, those guys played so well just to win possession out of the middle and control it. We've got two midfield threes that can be incredibly good. Lazaro, Will Phil, and Tom Powell, I'm so, so impressed with all of them from this game. Tom Powell, the stats he accrued were fantastic. I love what he did. Charlie Lazaro, man, what has he been eating in this preseason? He just looks like a different player. I know he had that round 23 game, which is great, but I don't know what the difference with him is. He is an AFL player, and he's gone. It's a contract year. Let's pull my finger out, and he has to be starting in round one. He absolutely has to be. I think he was the best out of these. Powell's numbers were fantastic. I just think Lazaro was a little bit cleaner with the ball. But the one thing I will say about Powell, the athleticism that's on display with Tom Powell to break away from a contest or do a little bit of everything. Like, when I watched the game, I didn't think Tom Powell had as much of it as he did when I looked at the stats. But then watching little highlights of the game, watching a bit of the game back, he was sort of popping up everywhere, you know, even being able to be put out on a wing and stuff like that. And that's going to be really, really handy for us. Will Phillips was, I maybe wanted a tiny bit more from Will Phillips. He did only play the second half, I'm pretty sure. But he was solid with what he did. I think I just wanted him around the ball a little bit more, in the contests a little bit more. But when he was there, he executed well. The only reason I'm saying that I wanted a little bit more from him was because Lazaro and Powell, to me, are probably the two that get the starting position for the 23. I think one of these guys, we can't play Lazaro, Will Phil, Powell, Simkin, LDU, and Wardlaw. I mean, unless we're going to put one of them as a sub, I just don't think we can play all those guys because they're all just midfielders. So I think one has to miss out. And I guess Will Phil at the moment is, but I don't know if he fully deserves to either. It's competition for spots. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it at all, but it's competition, and this is exactly what we want. Another key point here, Dawson, I've already talked about this, looked the best key back today. He's athletic, and he always brings the ball to ground. My only concern would be the one-on-one contest thing with him. I think he'd get muscled out a little bit, but other than that, he looked really solid today. And the team as a whole controlled the game. We built our lead in especially the second and third quarter, and then for the rest of the game, we just controlled the ball. We just kept moving the ball. We held the ball with clean disposal. We kept chipping away at the scoreboard, and they couldn't keep up. But the damage had been done, basically. So, yeah, they're all my positives and negatives, guys, to be honest. And what a display we put on. Now, I've got a couple of talking points from the game. North Ball. Now, people are running with this a little bit, and watch the media run with North Ball as a way to set it up to make fun of us for it in the season. The amount of headlines I'm going to be seeing from Fox Footy and like Footy on Nine and Kane Corns, I'm just so excited to hear what he has to say about North Ball. Wardlaw said this thing once, it's just a thing they say in the club, which is really a nonchalant comment and not something to take too seriously, but we know the media will run with it. North Ball. Now, we all heard in the preseason that we were going to run, carry, fast ball movement. You never know that that's going to be true until you actually see him play, and especially against actual AFL opposition. We transitioned that ball so quickly and from the second quarter onwards so cleanly. Yes, it's going to lead to turnovers in actual AFL games, and yes, we're going to get scored against a lot, but I'm here for North Ball. If we're going to win like six games or so this year and we do it in style where we're running and taking the game on, I'm all for it. I'm absolutely all for it. I love this style of play. Young, youthful, fast, athletic players pushing that ball off half back to half forward. When the ball got to our forward line from the second quarter onwards, we looked like we'd score every single time it was in there. Larky obviously kicking five from the day, but yeah, what a fantastic game plan we've got. Getting a core and a Comben in there, along with either Dawson or Pink or Biggie, if he can step up a little bit, I think we're going to be okay. I'm more confident in the defense to defend North Ball. The difference was in this game, when we did turn the ball over, we turned it over sort of on our half forward line and not from the midfield to a half back line and it goes straight back over our heads. At least when we turned it over moving into the forward line now, we've got time to set up behind the ball defensively. And that might be a massive thing that changes us going from losing by 30 to last year you losing by 80. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I really like what Clarkson is setting out to do here. And I think he's building a game plan around the players we've got. But once again, like I said, look at the players he recruited and drafted. McKercher, like we know what Sheezel can do, or obviously, but Fisher and Dylan Stevens. These players are going to unlock North Ball. Unlock it, genuinely. Do I want to run with North Ball in a tongue-in-cheek way? Absolutely. But I don't want to see Fox Footy and the media running with North Ball, because they're just going to use North Ball as a way for when we play badly. Kane Corn is going to be like, oh, look at North Ball now. So I don't know if I like everyone running with North Ball. I think maybe I'd prefer that Wardlaw didn't say that. But hey, as a fan base, we can use it at will. And it's for us to use and nobody else. A different point here, which is a little bit hilarious. I think CCJ was doing whiteface. There was so many. I think Dylan Stevens just covered his face in zinc as well. We look like he had a couple of mimes on the field. Blake Jury as well, but that's just his skin tone. Coming from a pale guy, guys, I can say that. Look how pale I am. It's cooked. Us Irish boys, it's not fun. But I just thought it looked like Callum Coleman-Jones had face paint on. It was hilarious. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Dylan Stevens had that as well. But yeah, just a funny point from the game. When I saw CCJ there looking like a mime, I thought he was going to start like pretending there was a little glass wall in front of him or something. Hilarious. Hilarious. We should all do it. Everyone should cover their whole face in zinc like a face mask, and that'll put the opposition off, and maybe we'll make them laugh so they drop the mark and we get the ball. Maybe that's the reason we won. That's why we're sending CCJ out there, guys. We're sending him doing white. I can't keep going on with it. Okay. Forward pressure. And this is something I wanted to point out as well. Actually, I forgot this note. Paul Curtis's forward pressure. The forward pressure as a whole, with Zerha and Paul Curtis especially. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. This is Cooper Harvey as well. I'm going to shout out Cooper Harvey. The forward pressure from those guys was fantastic. And that meant that the ball wasn't run. And this is why we looked like we were going to score every time we moved into the 50, is because the ball wasn't coming out at will. The ball wasn't just flying straight back out over our heads for an opposition score. The forward pressure was different, but shout out to Paul Curtis on the day. You know, didn't play the intra-club, kicked three, and his pressure was phenomenal. He can play taller, but I hope he's going to play that smaller forward role, because he's quick and agile and a good crummer, but he can take a mark over his head and he's really, really strong. I love what Paul Curtis is building. Lock him for round one. But the forward pressure as a whole, as a unit, I don't know Xavier Clark is doing with our forward line, but that pressure was fantastic. So massive, massive props to that. Pressure all over the ground, to be honest. I mean, we really strangled Collingwood after the first quarter in the midfield and they couldn't get much. And when they even did, our backline as a unit and as a scheme really choked them, and they couldn't score and they couldn't do anything. One-on-one, once again, I still think we're a little bit shaky, but we'll grow into that. As a unit, though, when we can chop off passes and put the pressure on, the amount of times that we laid a tackle in our back 50 that stopped a goal compared to last year when it would absolutely been a score against us, there's a new hunger and a new passion here. And we hear that all the time with people. Oh, Jai Simkin, we don't want to be on the bottom of the ladder anymore. Zerha saying there's a new intensity at training. That's nice to hear, but I don't take that stuff seriously until I see it. And I saw it. I've already talked about Josh Goeder a little bit, but yeah, Goeder's new position, I think he's playing deeper and I think he's playing in that back pocket sort of lockdown role, but then looking to cut across packs and be a bit of a third man up. I like him in that role. Like I said, we've got so many transition options off the back, off half back, and he could be one of those as well, but we've got to make it work, and he's too talented of a player. I really like what I'm seeing from Josh Goeder. I wanted more from him after last season. I think he was okay, but I needed him to step up. I know Dean, hashtag Kangaroos Dean, has been on Goeder, and once again, credit to you, Dean. Maybe you are the Messiah that we need. Maybe you should be the match committee selector as well. But he's been on hot on Goeder for a while. I think I said when we went on his pod a few weeks ago that Goeder, for me, needs to improve a little bit more, but I liked what I saw. I like the new role that Josh Goeder seems to be in, that Zeebel / transition player hybrid. You're trying to lock down a little bit as well, which I think is really, really good. So interesting, very, very interesting to see him in that position. But hey, our halfback options are stacked. Now, Harry Sheezel, it looks like in the first, he definitely played more midfield in the second half, I think. But he kept seeming to drop back to both. So there'd be times in the game where he'd be looking like he's playing off halfback, and then there'd be times when he's looking like he's in the midfield. And I feel like this might be his hybrid role. I do think, and I called him to be playing forward very early on, wasn't based off much. It was more based off getting Fisher and better halfback options. I called for him to be in the midfield a lot more. To me, from that game, it looks like he's a midfield / halfback. Definitely just following on what a Dacos is doing. And I think they're literally copying and pasting Dacos and, you know, making him that, which I think is exactly what he should be. I like him playing around those roles, especially when we are near the bottom of the ladder. We need calm, cool heads off that half back line and that transition through the midfield. He brought calmness to our midfield in the second quarter, and I think he's the biggest reason why our bad play from the first quarter to the second quarter turned. But I like him in that mid / half back role, and he just floats around there, linking up with people, effective disposal, and just a cool, calm head. And I think I'd like him to be there instead of playing in the forward line, especially with how Zerha, Jaden Stevenson, which we'll talk about, and Paul Curtis are playing at the moment. So, yeah, I think mid / back for Sheezel this year. I'm going to change my prediction. I'm going to say he's going to play a mid / back role, literally just exactly what Nick Dacos does. He'll have stints in plenty of midfield time, and he'll have plenty of half-back time, I think. Once again, another point that I've already talked about, but Stevens and Fisher are huge inclusions. They are going to unlock North Ball. Throw Colby McKercher in that as well. They're the three that are going to unlock our transition fast ball movement style of play. Clarkson has gone and recruited players to play a specific system, and I like that. This man is doing, Clarkson that is doing so much for our club. You can just tell by the way we played it's going to be a better year. You know what I mean? The last point is, who is our best key back? Now, you know, I think like Lazaro, Phillips, Powell, Biggie, Pink, and Dawson is a debate. Biggie, to me, was the least impressive defender on the day. I would say he was one of the better ones in the intra-club, I would say. But today, against the actual, like, more pressure, I think his flaws were on show a little bit more. I'm going to put Dawson at the top of this list. I think Dawson's had a bit more experience and seems like a cooler head. Pink, I think, can grow into like a bit more of a key defensive role. And he was pretty solid, not quite as good as Dawson. And then I'll put Biggie last. And the only reason I've changed so much on Biggie, and I still think he can get into the team this year, and I think he can play. I like his intercept marking, his athleticism. It's more his decision-making under pressure. I think he's a decent user of the ball. But when that calling, when there's opposition out there that's not your friends, and the pressure was on for him, he looked a little bit like a deer in headlights. So I think Dawson gets that third sort of tall-ish role. I think Comben, Core, Dawson is going to be my back combination. I know Core might not play round one because he hasn't played a lot. We'll see if he plays against St. Kilda. But if I was going to pick and say Core's available, they're the three I would be going with at the moment. I think it's up for Pink and Biggie to battle it out, even though they bring very, very different game styles. Biggie, I think, is going to fit the system better with intercept marking and athleticism. But Pink would be the first one I'd bring in if, say, Combin went down and we needed, and we were playing a Tex Walker or someone like that. So I love these key position and midfield problems. I love it. These half-back problems. Like, we got to fit these guys in. It's fantastic. You know, having a debate about Biggie, Dawson, Pink, and Lazaro, Powell, Phillips, this is exactly what we want as a team. And the fact that everyone's pushing for spots is unmatched. So we're just going to go to a few my favourite players on the day, my best on grounds, and some people I wanted a bit more from. And then we're going to finish it, guys, because I need to go eat breakfast and go to work soon. So, best on for me was McKercher. From the first bounce he was on, the guy's AFL ready. He's one of the most AFL ready players I've ever seen come into the AFL. Nick Larkey, we haven't talked heaps about him. Nick Larkey's just doing Nick Larkey. Seems strong in contest, won a few free kicks. His goal kicking was on point, like always. Nick Larkey's Nick Larkey, guys. A fantastic All-Australian player. Dylan Stevens could have also arguably been best on ground for me. More, say, second half BOG for me, but I love what he's bringing to this team. Zach Fisher, first half MVP, especially the first quarter. He set the tone, and I think he was the reason why we didn't get scored more against in that first quarter. Him making the decision-making on his part and then being able to transition it and link up, yeah, we would have got heavily scored against in that first quarter with how we played if it wasn't for him. Paul Curtis, they're the exact games I want Paul Curtis to play. Didn't end with heaps and heaps of touches, but when that ball's in our forward line, he's a threat. He can mark. He's going to tackle you if you get the ball. His goal kicking has always been a little bit questionable for me. But, enough of these kicks around the body. Let's touch on this quickly. Jaden Stevenson and Cam Zerha. Paul Curtis, I think, maybe did this too, but kicked it instead. If you're on a slight angle and 35 metres out, kick a drop punt. I'm over this TikTok Gen Z snapping around the body all the time. That's the biggest boomer take of all time, by the way. But it's true. What is going on with these modern players and snapping it around the body? Jaden Stevenson snapped it from 40 metres out and didn't make the distance. Kick a drop punt, you absolute buffoons. Zerha could make the distance. He kicked it about 60 metres, snapping around the corner. But he missed. Kick a drop punt, mate. He was on a slight angle. Like, there was no angle there. I'm baffled. I'm genuinely baffled. And I know it's happening in the league for the last few years. North Melbourne is not this type of club. We're old school. We're gritty. We're tough at the ball. We've got values. Stop. Just stop. It doesn't work. We've seen this time and time and time again. Stop, please, for the love of God. Anyway, Paul Curtis played very well. Callum Dawson, props to you. Once again, the only question mark on me is if he gets stuck in a one-on-one contest, I would be worried. Other than that, looks AFL ready, good size, athletic, good disposal off the back line. And I think playing that third key defender role will hopefully suit him, because Core, as we know, is better in that second key role. Tristan Jerry, I'm going to put in my best players as well. There's an asterisk there because he still had some Jerry Clanger moments. That's just a ruckman being a ruckman. I think there was more good than bad with Jerry today. And if he can do that week in, week out, just have more good than bad, our midfield is going to be a lot more dangerous. Props to you, Jerry. Glue that helmet on your head. Keep taking those marks and feeding players running past you. Ruck work, putting it into positions where our players could run onto it was good, and direct tapping to our players was also pretty solid. So is this going to be the season where Jerry turns my Jerry opinion around? I would love that. So keep it up, Tristan. I'm backing you, mate. I always have. Josh Goda, very, very solid. Charlie Lazaro, really, really good, continuing his preseason form, especially that second half when he got more midfield time, looked fantastic, and has to be a lock for round one. Tom Powell, really solid all over the ground today. I'm, once again, not as convinced he was incredible purely in the midfield, but just around the ground and his effective disposal, athleticism and decision-making. I really liked Tom Power's game. He ended up with something like, I don't have the stats in front of me. I should have got the stats, but he ended up with like 40 touches or 42 possessions or something, I think. Unbelievable. Because I didn't feel like he accrued that many touches, but it's just because around the ground, around the contest, he was really, really solid. And the last one, and Harry Sheasel, once again, sort of like Nick Larkey in that Sheasel doing Sheasel things. Sheasel is Sheasel now, and we expect that from every week, and I think he's going to deliver every week. So just another really solid, effective disposal game from Sheasel. I think 32 touches roughly for him. So yeah, fantastic. Now, a couple of players I wanted more from. Now, I'll caveat this. This is not a criticism, and I'll justify these. Just because I put these players in this list doesn't mean I think they were bad necessarily. I just want more. Jai Simpkin is my first one. Now, I think Jai Simpkin played all right. I think he played a pretty solid game, took a few good contested marks. I think I just wanted him to dominate a little bit more. His game was a really good 7 out of 10 for me. I want him to be 8 or 9 out of 10. I've been impressed with Jai in the middle. He didn't win probably quite enough clearances for me, and around the ground didn't get involved as much as I thought. But it did look like in the midfield, once the ball was bounced, he sort of pushed to a wing half forward role. So maybe not quite as many midfield minutes this game as the intra club, because I loved what he did in the intra club and I thought he was one of the best players. But not a criticism on Simpkin. I just would like a little bit more when he's around the ball. And if he's not around the contest enough, get involved in the contest, because he's too good of a player to not be around that ball using his handball and his sidestep to create space. So not saying Simpkin was bad whatsoever, but I just wanted a little bit more from him because he was better in the intra-club. Cam Zerha, here's another one. He was, once again, sort of like Simpkin, was pretty good, was pretty solid, kicked a few goals up forward. I want him to get involved in the play a little bit more. I think when he's hot, he's on. When he's quiet, he's not. And he missed a few easy chances. I just want him to get involved in the play a little bit more. Wasn't bad, but wasn't as good as the intra club. Zerha could be one of our best players. So that's the standard I hold for him, especially in a contract year with the rig he's got going on now. I need him to step up a little bit more. And if it is coming into the forward line and you're not getting possession, push into the midfield. Do something like that. Will Phillips only played the second half. And once again, don't think he was bad. I think he was pretty clean when he got the ball. I just want him in the contest more, I think. I think there was a bunch of clearances where he wasn't really involved in it. And that's not always needed. You know what I mean? But once again, I think I wanted a little bit more from Phillips because Lazaro and Powell were better than him. But say Phillips was the best on ground, I would have said that for Powell, being these are your competition. I think I'm going to want more from the player out of those three that performs the worst because the pressure is on. And I feel the same about, I've got Biggie on this list. I feel exactly the same about Biggie, Pink, and Dawson. I wanted a bit more from Biggie because he's vying for one position with three guys. So he needs to step up a little bit more. He played well in the intra club and the match sims and stuff we did. I think he was a little bit poor today. Some decent intercept marks, but a little bit poor. So Phillips and Biggie, hopefully I've justified that enough and you guys understand. I don't want messages telling me, no, Phillips was good. He was good, but he wasn't better than Powell or Lazaro. So I wanted a bit more from him. It's high standards, I know, but hey, we're classy here at Further North and we demand the best. So you guys know I'm not biased. CCJ was okay. Took a couple of marks on the wing and then he kicked one. Was there two? Sorry, guys. I need to clear my throat here. I'm dying. It's so early in the morning. This is the most rogue podcast and you're going to hear me cough and snort. I apologize so much. Anyway, we've known each other long enough now. This is a close enough. We're at the point we can fart in front of each other now. So I love that I've built that relationship with you guys. I want CCJ to be more involved. I'm not super convinced on CCJ this preseason. I think he might play in round one, but I think if he doesn't step up, he'll drop out of the team pretty quickly. Wasn't bad, but just wasn't involved enough. and the, you know, still 50-50 if he does something positive or not. I'm a CCJ believer. I think he's got the tools to be a very good player and play a role that we really need, but he's not currently doing it good enough. So I believe in you, Callum, but I wouldn't say round one lock, but I think he might play. But yeah, maybe been a little bit disappointed with CCJ this preseason. Jaden Stevenson in the second half. First half, he was very, very good. Second half, he seemed to be playing on the wing and was pushing down into the back line a lot. Now, I've put him in here that I want more just because Jaden Stevenson in the back line gives me David Noble vibes, and I hate that. Anything David Noble-esque needs to be burnt and stricken from the record of the North Melbourne Football Club. He didn't really get involved very much in the second half. There was a couple of plays where he sort of, he did link up on a couple, but he was a little bit quiet in that second half, but they did change his position. I think that second half just proves Jaden Stevenson is a forward line player. Don't play him anywhere else. I think he's got a good disposal on him and can kick pretty accurately if he's on the wing. But if he's any, if he's back from the center line at all, he's not a very good player. So Stevenson, stick to the forward 50, please. Go and tell Clarko, mate, Josh from further north said that I'm not very good from the back half of the ground. So please play me forward. And Clarko will be like, oh yeah, I listen to that podcast all the time. Sure, we'll play you forward pocket every single game. So I like Jaden Stevenson's first half. He's had a good preseason and he's definitely playing round one for me. But don't play him in the back half of the ground. That's basically it. I've already touched on Biggie. I think that's my sum up from the game, guys. I'm going to end it here. Hopefully you like the new little format where I'm trying to go quarter by quarter a little bit more. I'm still with the positives and negatives, but I'm going to try and do it more quarter by quarter. Any improvements you think of the structure I've got here, positives, negatives, best on ground, want more, please let me know and I'll take it under advisement. Fantastic display. This is making me so excited for the season. If we win six games, but we're playing like that all year, it's going to be fun. And I think one of the big things I want this year from North is I want to go to these games again. I want to be like, I want to go and watch them play this run and gun style, you know. Just get us to the footy with an exciting style of play and show that these young kids are special. That's what will get our fan base back to the footy because we're all passionate. We've got the most loyal fan base in the league. We don't have bandwagon fans. We're never going to have bandwagon fans. You're a North fan or you don't like football. So I'm liking what I'm seeing. Let's, as North fans, overreact to this. Overreact, take your flowers, tell everyone we're going to win the premiership. But if any journalists or articles are written that are negative or are pretending we're really good and they didn't believe in us, let's scold them, all right? Anyway, I'm going to go and eat some food. It's still so early. Maybe I'll go back to bed before work. Who knows? But I wanted to get this out for you guys because there's so much to do for this live podcast. We touched on most of that in the last podcast. But yeah, please rock up at 1, grab a drink, support the brewery. Podcast will start around 2 and it's going to be a fantastic time. Thank you so much to everyone who's bought tickets again. I've gone on and on about this and I will do more at the live show. But yeah, we're filming it as well. There's going to be a video barring corrupt SD cards and things like that. There's going to be a video of it out eventually. I don't know how long that'll take me to edit, but this podcast will hopefully get you guys through. I'd love to be able to get it out by Tuesday next week. But I can't promise that because there is a lot more editing to do on something with video, different scenes and things like that. So for those who aren't coming to the live podcast, you will be able to watch it. I'm tired, excited, nervous, scared, you know, aroused, all of those sort of things right now. So my brain's clearly delusional. I'm going to head off. All the information for the live pod, if you didn't listen to the last episode, is at the start of the last episode. So if you're coming to the live show, housekeeping things, food, you know, etiquette, all that sort of stuff, listen to the last podcast me and Marnie put out. It's all there. I don't want to go over it again. Appreciate you guys. We're going to win the flag this year. North Ball is real. It's for us to use and us to use only. I'm going to go to work now. If you guys want to come and get a haircut too, I haven't shouted this out for a while. Black and Brown Barbershop in Mitcham. You know, just request Josh on the website. Say in the comments you're a Further North listener. And if you're in the eastern suburbs around Mitcham, come and talk North Ball with me. All right, I'm actually done now. See you guys at the live show. And if not...